And as we turn now our attention to John the Baptist, I want to ask you to consider four things with me about his prophetic office, and then how your pastor, Father Lewis, is in this office of prophet, and also how you, as baptized members of God's faithful, have also this great office. The first thing I want you to notice about John the Baptist's ministry is his preparing purpose. The preparing purpose of John the Baptist. The text says today from Isaiah that I'll recall to you. The Lord called me from birth. From my mother's womb, he gave me my name. He made of me a sharp two-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. And he said, you are my servant through whom I will show my glory, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. Oh, I will make of you a light of the nation, that my salvation may reach even unto the ends of the earth. And so we see that Isaiah had this mission, but so did John the Baptist. And so does Father Lewis have this great mission to, in every way, rejoice in what God is doing in his life, to be a light to the nations, to gather God's people, and to prepare them. Listen again to what the Lord says. I'm sending you to raise up the tribes of Jacob. I'm sending you to restore the survivors of Israel and to be a light to all my people, even to the ends of the earth. I hope you pray for your pastor. That's a mighty tall bill. That's a mighty tall bill. But again, to restore, to confirm, to strengthen, and to be a light. Now listen, John the Baptist had a particular mission. And that was to be Elijah. Come back. Now Elijah, God said, would have to return to prepare the people. Because when Messiah came, if you weren't ready, you weren't going to make it. And Elijah needed to return to get God's people ready so that when Jesus stepped on the scene, there would be a people who had hearts that were ready, who had, if you will, an openness to what Jesus would proclaim to them. Now listen here. This is what the text says. It's a text from Malachi, chapter 4. Because again, they had to get ready to meet God. And while I'm talking about them 2,000 years ago, how about us? We've got to get ready to meet God. I said, we've got to get ready to meet Him. We'll talk about that, but listen to this text from Malachi chapter 4. Surely, the Lord says, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And on that day that is coming, he will set them on fire, says the Lord of hosts. And not a branch or a root shall be left among the wicked. But for you who fear my name, that day will be like the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. And you will go out and leap like calves who've been released from the stall. And you will trample down the wicked, and they will be like ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord God Almighty. But remember the law of my servant Moses and his decrees that I gave him at Horeb for all of Israel. See, I will send you Elijah, the great prophet, before that great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come to the land and strike it with doom. So you see, God had to send Elijah. You say, well, how do we know that John the Baptist was that Elijah figure? Well, Jesus himself says it. I'm quoting now from Matthew 11. And the Lord said to his disciples, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing among you, but also forceful men attack it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so the Lord said, don't you understand? I've come among you now, Jesus said to them. I've come among you, and thank God, he loves you and he prepared you. He sent Elijah the prophet before me. He was John the Baptist. He was that Elijah figure destined to come, and he prepared your heart so that when I came, you would hear a word and say, yes, Lord, I believe, and follow me. Yet tragically, many did not listen to John the Baptist when he pointed out Christ, and they were not ready. They were not ready. And within 40 years, great doom would come upon the unbelievers. And so it is, we see this great task of John the Baptist to prepare the hearts and the minds of the people to meet and encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came, to say, yes, Lord, I do believe. I will follow you. I'll be your disciple. I will follow you wherever you go. So many of those early disciples had John the Baptist to thank for preparing the way for Christ. Now, today, you and I, listen, church, we got to get ready. We have got to get ready to meet God. Either he will come to us, Jesus will, or we will go to him. But we all have an appointment to meet the Lord. Are you praying with me this morning? We've got to begin to understand that the Lord, we're going to meet him. We're going to see him. And brothers and sisters, we've got to get ready for that day. You know, this text talks about, from Malachi, about the great day of the Lord being like a day of fire. But listen, pray with me for a minute on this text. The text isn't merely made to make us seem that God is some fearful, terrible God that we can't come close, but rather this, that God is a holy fire. That God is a burning furnace of love and charity. That God is filled with light, with holiness, with zeal and love for people. Like a burning furnace and oven of charity. We've got to get ready to meet him. And the only way to get ready to meet him, if he's a holy fire, and scripture says in the book of Hebrews, for our God is a consuming fire. The only way to be ready to meet God is to already be on fire when we meet him. Why do you think the Lord sent the Holy Spirit like tongues of fire? He came and sent the Holy Spirit like tongues of fire to light the fire of his love in us and to bring us up to the temperature of glory. Did you hear this text? It says, the day is coming like an oven, and it will burn up the wicked. But for you who fear my name, it'll be a glorious sunlit day in the sun and all of its warmth and all of its glory. You won't even think it's hot. You'll just say the weather's just fine because you're already up to the temperature of glory. You see, the Lord has come to light a fire on this earth and to set a fire at work within us so that you and I, the day when we die and go to meet the Lord, perhaps after having been purged, we will be brought up to the full temperature of glory. And the only thing that can survive fire is fire itself. And to be on fire with the Lord, that's the great call that we've received. And God sends us Elijah, he sends us John the Baptist, and I want to say to you this morning, he sends your pastor to you, Father Lewis, to proclaim, to get you ready. He has a preparing purpose. One of the most fundamental tasks that any pastor, any preacher has is to say, my people, get ready. Get ready to meet God. Let the Lord set you on fire with love. Let him, let his love and his fiery love burn away sin and purify you so that when you're like finished, you'll be like pure gold. Be like Job who said, God knows the way I take. God knows the way I go. And when I come forth from his trials, I shall be as pure gold. Our God is a refining fire. Our God is a purifying fire. And Father's job is to proclaim to you a magnificent truth that you are being summoned one day into the full presence of God. And you've got to get ready. You've got to get ready. And God will get you ready. But let Father proclaim this truth to you in season and out of seasons, always saying, time to get ready. Time to get ready. And so it is that your pastor announces a word of preparation like John the Baptist. And what is that word that, if you will, is announced day after day? You see, John didn't just have a preparing purpose, but John the Baptist also had a penitential proclamation. And what was that proclamation? We hear today in the second reading, John heralded Jesus' coming by proclaiming a baptism of repentance. And Matthew, the gospel today, reports John's words as being, repent, For the kingdom of heaven is near. Prepare the way of the Lord and make straight paths for the Lord. So you see, at the heart of getting ready is this great call to repentance. To repentance. Now you see, brothers and sisters, I want to just express a little impatience at some things that go on in our world today. There's a lot of people who want the church to be a kind of a do-no-harm, just sort of be what anybody wants you to be. Just be the warm, welcoming, embracing community, and that's all the church should be. Just a place where people kind of get patted on the head and told that everything is just fine. Well, now listen, let's be clear. We love God's people, amen? And we want folks to feel welcome, and we want folks to feel the consoling power of God in their life. Amen, amen. But if that's all the church is, we might as well just be a moose club or some other social organization. But brothers and sisters, part of getting ready is to hear this call. You got to repent. There's stuff going on in our lives that has to end. And there's stuff that's not going on that needs to begin. Repent. This great call. You know, I like you have a doctor. My doctor's name is Dr. Reddy, and she's a very fine doctor. And I will say that I am happy that she is kind to me. I am happy that she has a kind of a ministry of consolation. She helps me to get well, but you know what? She's also got her finger in the air and her hand on her hip. She says, Charles Pope, you've got to lose some weight. And we're keeping our eye on your blood pressure, and there is stuff going on into your mouth that should not be, and you've just got to do more exercising, and you've got to get right. You've got to get right. See, I want my doctor to be both. She's good to me, she's kind, but I'll tell you something else. She tells me like it is. She says, you go on like this, and you're going to die of poor health. And so again, that's part of what the church has to be. Kind and consoling, like a mother who loves us, yes. Welcoming, yes, but also clear with us that there are just some things that have to end. And the greatest desire of Holy Mother Church is not just that we feel happy in the moment, but that we live with God forever in eternity. You can be happy today and in hell tomorrow. The real goal is to keep people walking with the Lord so that His saving grace can get them ready to be with Him forever. And sometimes that means you got to say a few tough things. And so we see that John cries out, repent, repent. Now I pray that you will also accept from your pastor that same call. I know that you'd like every sermon to be pleasant, consoling. Jesus is my shepherd, hallelujah, and yes, Lord, thank you. But there are going to have to be some of those other sermons that say there are some things that we got to stop doing. And I hope that you'll accept that ministry from your pastor. As he stands in this pulpit and he stands before you and cries out, repent. Now let's talk about the word repent for a minute. The Greek word here in the text is metanoiate. Metanoiate. It means, most literally, metanoia means to come to a new mind or to come to a new way of thinking. So it's deeper than just clean up your behavior. But the Lord wants to do something even deeper in our lives. Yes, He wants us to walk uprightly. Yes, He wants us to love the poor, and He wants us to live chastely, and He wants us to understand that we've got to curb our anger, and we've got to begin to speak the truth in love. Yes, the Lord wants to see our behavior reform. But you understand something. The Lord has a deeper thing in mind, and that is that we receive from Him a new mind and a new heart. Metanoiate means receive a new mind, a new way of thinking, a whole different way of understanding the world and why you were made and what your priorities are. Come to this whole new way of thinking, and come also to a new heart whereby you begin to love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. For God, you have a deep affection for God. You're crazy about God, and you love all God's children. Oh, the Lord can give us a new mind and a new heart. So this great call of John the Baptist, metanoiate, come to a new mind. Your own pastor makes this great call, come to a new way of thinking. And he will, Sunday after Sunday, stand in a pulpit and say to you, here is what God's way of thinking is. Here is God's mind. Here is the heart and the mind of God. And he'll preach from God's word and teach you and give you what he's handed on to the church for our solemn teachings. He must be faithful to God's word. Pray for him every day that he will be able to effectively proclaim a word to you, so that by God's power and God's grace, you and I will come to a new mind and a new heart. Metanoiate, repent, come to a whole new way of being, a whole new way of thinking. And so again, this great call of John the Baptist. So again, we see John the Baptist has a preparing purpose. He has a penitential proclamation. And the next thing I want you to see is that he has a persistent pointing. You see, John the Baptist was a kind of a rock star in his own day. Jesus would say, there is no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. And people would just say, amen. John the Baptist was hated by some, but a beloved, a revered figure. People went out into the desert to listen to him. John could have been a rock star. He could have been a megalomaniac. He could have had the biggest ego on the planet. Oh, I'm looking out, people coming out to hear me. I must amount to something. Look at me. Well, but John didn't do that, did he? John just pointed to Christ. He just kept pointing. You see, we have in the reading today, they came to him. And they said, talk to us, John. Who are you? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one? John said, what you suppose that I am not. Behold, one is coming after me. I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet. One who is coming is greater than I. And when John, and he kept talking about how someone would come who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, not just with water. And so watch for him. And suddenly, one day, John is standing at the shoreline of the River Jordan. And he said, look, he said, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. A couple chapters later in John's gospel, some of his disciples worry. They say, John, you know, everyone's going to Jesus. And he says, I'm so happy. I'm like the best man at the wedding, and I'm just so happy when the groom arrives and is joined with his bride. And now I can simply say my work is coming to an end, and that he must increase and I must decrease. Every prophet, true prophet, points to Christ, points to him day in and day out, never points to himself, never calls attention to himself, never thinks that he amounts to anything except to be the voice of God, and is joyful and glad and rejoicing simply when people can say, praise the Lord. And when someone comes and says, that was a nice sermon, he says, that wasn't me, that was God. God gives the word of power. And so it is that your pastor, his job is always to point to Christ. And at that critical moment in the liturgy, he turns with the most blessed sacrament in his hands and says those words of John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I know that Father Lewis would shout amen to me if that were appropriate in a liturgy like this. He would shout amen and say, listen, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. I'm always going to point to Christ. My job is to simply say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come to him. He alone can heal you. He alone can set you free. It's Father's job to stand up here and to let Christ make use of his voice, of his heart, of his mind, of his soul, and let Christ speak to you through him. Right now, I pray, it is not Charles Pope who speaks to you. It's Jesus Christ speaking. He's using my heart, my mind, my memory, my voice. But it's all about Jesus. It's Jesus. So always speaking, shouting, proclaiming Jesus, Jesus. The true prophet always and only points to Christ, points the way to God. And now to the final point in this sermon. I know I'm not known for my short sermons. I don't know if this is a normal length or, man, he's really going on up there, man. Someone get him some water and cool him down. It's all right. I love the Lord. I can't stop talking about him. But listen, we've seen that John the Baptist has a preparing purpose. He has a penitential proclamation and a persistent pointing. And I pray, God, all these things your pastor will have for you. And I know he does. and I know you'll continue to pray for him. But let me ask you another question. Not only does John have this persistent pointing and preparing purpose and penitential proclamation, but he is also a present person. I said to you at the beginning of this sermon, John the Baptist was a real person who spoke to real people. He did that in order to get them ready to meet God when he should come. Now, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Is John the Baptist dead and gone? I've already told you, no. His ministry continues and must continue, for all of us have to get ready to meet God. So that mission of John the Baptist goes on. Let me ask you then to ponder two questions. Who is John the Baptist for you? And then the second question I'm going to explore with you is, how are you John the Baptist to others? Now, I've already said to you that one person who is John the Baptist to you is your pastor, Father Lewis. He is Christ for you, but he's also John the Baptist saying, get ready. But listen, in a wider sense, that's what the church is for all of us. Always shouting, proclaiming, get ready to meet God. This world is passing away. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, where the things that are seen are transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. Always set your heart on greater things. And so the church, like John the Baptist, heralds this great message, get ready to meet God. But now I say to you, the church shouldn't be thought of as an abstraction. The church is your pastor. The church is our local bishop, yes, but the church is also you. Think of it. Most of us didn't hear about Jesus in a papal encyclical. Most of us heard about Jesus at our mother's knee. My mother was John the Baptist to me. My father, God rest both their souls, they're gone home with the Lord now. But they proclaimed Christ to me. And they said, Charles Pope, get your life in order. You're going to meet God, and God is watching, and God sees, and God loves you. But you've got to be ready to meet him. They proclaimed, they brought me to God's house. They gave me, if you will, that opportunity to meet the Lord in the sacraments and hear his word. They read Bible stories. They taught me to pray. They taught me the commandments, and they insisted that I follow them. John the Baptist, you better believe it, my parents. And I've had some good holy priests, religious sisters, and the faithful of God who have ministered to me over the years. This morning in my own congregation at the 8 o'clock Mass, I thanked them. And I said, I want you to know how you've been John the Baptist to me. Because I see in your faith and your coming, Sunday after Sunday, you're announcing to me, got to get ready to meet God. We sometimes sing that hymn, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And that congregation taught me that hymn. And they've sung to me of God's grace. They've sung to me of his glory. They've cried out and they've prayed for me. They've witnessed to me. Yes. And I pray you will be that for your pastor. Always saying, Father, we love you, we support you, we encourage you. And Father, this is the way, walk in it. When he might feel discouraged at times, I simply say to you that don't fail to also be John the Baptist to your pastor. But I tell you, so many in my life have been like John the Baptist to me, calling me, summoning me to repentance, to a new way of seeing things, a new way of thinking, a new heart, a new mind, a whole new self, and a new walk with Christ. Every day. So I ask you, who is John the Baptist for you? Your pastor, yes. The Pope, yes. Our local bishop, yes. Cardinal Worrell, yes. How about your parents? Who brought you to Christ? Who announced him to you? Who pointed to him? Who brought you to God's house? Who taught you to pray? Who taught you? And who's doing that now? Maybe it's friends and co-workers or brothers and sisters. Maybe it's still your parents. Whoever it is, thank God. God's love for you is to say, I don't want my people to be lost. I'm going to send them Elijah to prepare them. I'm going to send them John the Baptist. I'm going to get my people ready. Because I am what I am, a holy fire. A glorious burning fire of charity, and I want to light the fire of love in them so they'll be able to endure the day of my coming. And now, that final question for you. How are you, John the Baptist? You are baptized, members of God's faithful. Among the offices you received was prophet. A prophet speaks for God. A prophet is God's voice in the world. A prophet is someone who in the wilderness of this world shouts out, make straight the way of the Lord. Prepare for him. Prepare his way. How are you, John the Baptist? You know, too many Christians are these stealthy saints, these undercover Christians. You'd never know, except that they walk into a church on Sunday morning. And even when they walk into church, some of them are a little bit like, the frozen chosen. They want to kind of keep the whole thing private. But can people look to you and see life, see hope, see joy? You know, St. Peter says, always be ready to render an account for the hope that's in you. Well, that means that people notice there's hope in you. Do they? Your joy, your hope, your confidence, your sense of God, your reverence, your modesty. People notice these things. Some will hate you for it. Some will be drawn to you, and you can render an account. Many of you are parents and are raising children. Some of you are grandparents and have still the care of grandchildren. Are you John the Baptist to them? Are you saying, this is the way, walk in it? Are you saying, prepare? Too many parents don't do that today. Too many parents just say, well, you know, I'll let my kid find his own way. By gosh, if he's failing math, they're going to go into action. But if he's not getting to church, well, you know how kids are. You know. Are you John the Baptist? Can you say to them, repent? And you'll take heat for it. I know you will. If you're a parent, you're going to take heat. Oh, Mom. Oh, Dad. There we go again. Take the heat. John the Baptist gave his life for Christ. Are you willing to give your life for your children and your grandchildren? You know, the martyrs went to their death proclaiming Jesus. Too many Christians today are afraid if somebody even just raises an eyebrow. What? And we're shocked and we're horrified and we shut down immediately and we stop preaching. Why is the world in this condition today? This is a nation, theoretically, of majority Christian. The complete collapse of family and many moral values has happened on our watch. Oh, the world needs John the Baptist. The world needs this word to go forth, that Jesus is the way. Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. So I've gone on too long. I always do. I'll just say finally to you, we give thanks today. God has, if you will, done a mighty work in this congregation. You with your pastor have continued. You walk in faith together. You journey. Your pastor is with you today as one among God to celebrate this great Mass of Thanksgiving. I pray you'll pray for him and work with him. And realize he's Christ for you. He's also John the Baptist. He is to be a prophet. He's also to teach. He's to govern. He's to sanctify in this community. But again, always remember, the Lord loves you. And he sent you your pastor to minister to you, to get you ready to meet God. And he, like Christ, and he, like John the Baptist, ministers to you and shows you an example so that as you go out the doors of this church, you too will be able to minister to others and to shout and to proclaim, make straight the path of the Lord, and to call to people, come and go with me to my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. Amen.